Beneath the scorching sands of the Giza Plateau, the pyramids rise like sentinels of stone, towering enigmas that have fascinated and confounded humanity for millennia. Official history tells us they were tombs, built by the hands of countless laborers and guided by the genius of ancient engineers. But the sheer scale, the celestial alignments, and the mysterious precision of their construction invite questions that refuse to stay buried. From hidden chambers and unexplored voids, to the possibility of advanced lost technologies, the pyramids embody the tension between what we know and what we desperately want to know. Were they monuments of kingship alone, or messages carved in stone for the ages? Were they born solely of human ingenuity, or did their builders draw upon knowledge now forgotten, perhaps even gifted from beyond? Join the theorists as we step inside the shadow of the stones, navigating ancient truths and modern speculation on this episode of Theorists Theorizing.
His pyramid is the smaller one, but I heard it's a little bit girthier. So it kind of makes up for it in that aspect, right? Like
it's not the size, what you do with it, right?
Yeah. That's where it counts, right?
And all these pyramids can be viewed from Cairo's own Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Off the rooftop dining balcony.
So go and grab yourself a bucket of chicken as you watch the rolling clouds of garbage.
But instead of Colonel, they got Zowie, hey, sitting there fucking Zowie special spices or whatever.
It is why.
The Colonel was an amateur.
Welcome everybody, KFC, number one good chicken for you.
That's amazing.
Have seen you watch Pyramid. Huh?
Coffee fried chicken.
See pictures now, like these huge structures, like the, you know, one of the most iconic, you know, human made structures in the world. And then like how close they are to just the city itself.
It's
like
insane.
They almost like still sit inside the city, and you know, that entire complex like reaches out. I mean, they're still digging into people's like basements and finding parts of that, like, you know, ancient hidden stuff, like, oh, you know, my fucking water heater is down there. And it's also sitting next to a sarcophagus or two. Like,
yeah, no shit. Imagine the poor bastards that live like close proximity get no sun for like how, like the shadow that it casts, they'd be fucked.
Oh, dude, they're enormous.
Like, yeah.
Like, I think people forget like the grandiose, like how big they are. I would love, I'd still like, it's on the bucket list. I have to see them.
How big is it? And like, let's say we'll use the biggest structure. How is it compared to chicken pizza? Is it, how much bigger?
Way bigger.
Like, how many times do you think?
Its base is 13 acres.
It's fucking crazy. Because like seeing chicken pizza, I lost my fucking mind. I couldn't even imagine seeing Giza.
Dude, it's 13 acres. Dude, one of the facts that I always kind of forgot about, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but like just 13 acres and almost perfectly level. Like 21 millimeters across 13 acres. Which is, in anyone who does any kind of carpentry, you're just like, that is
that is
wild.
Impossible.
That is wild. You're like, I can't get a fucking span of 8 feet to stay level within like a quarter inch.
Well, yeah. So we're talking about that. That's the Great Pyramid. So the Great Pyramid of Giza is the one that gets the most recognition, but it's part of a huge complex of the three main pyramids, right? The Khufu, the Khafre, and the Menkaure. The pharaohs attributed to their building or the claiming of them. We'll get to it.
The Giza Plateau is what they call it.
The whole plateau.
Like the whole area.
Yeah. And then it has a bunch of smaller like temples. It's got like three temples that are said to be based on, for their like their family and their wives. It has.
Which is crazy to me that this is like basically we call it the Tomb of the Kings, right? Like this is what we mentioned to him. yet we have zero proof that these were tombs. We don't have a single fucking body. Where are the bodies, Garth?
The bodies. Where are the bodies?
Where are the bodies?
But yeah, the whole Giza complex, I got it here. So you have like a mortuary temple, one per pyramid. You have valley temples, one per pyramid connected by underground causeways. A whole bunch of other causeways linking other temples. A bunch of them unearthed still. They've scanned and they know they're there. You have the Sphinx, Sphinx Temple, and another temple, Valley of the Sphinx. You have the West Field, which is like the Khufu's pyramid area. The East Field, smaller tombs. You had the South Cemetery, which is a Menkaure's pyramid area. You had the Workers' Village, the quarries. You have this huge, it's its own city in its day. Like, it's a fucking huge area. And Braden said, like, the Great Pyramid is the one that gets the most recognition, but they're all
They're all
crazy in their own way. But yeah, leveling acres of stone to millimeters is just to start there is bananas.
Yeah, and then over the span of 13 acres, 21 millimeters.
Like, builders used to use like a water level. That's how you kind of got your buildings level. But I don't know if that even, does that work over that, like over like a small building or a temple or whatever, sure. But over a building that big, now you use lasers and surveyors to like level the bedrock and pour like concrete.
Even if you're laying like patio stones, anyone who's laid patio stones, you know, like, okay, my first one's level. Then you get the second one. You're like, okay, level to level, my one stone that I did. Now I go to my next one. Okay. And then it's like, as you get like four stones away, you're like, hold on. I don't think this is level now from the first stone anymore. I've gone awry somewhere in the span of 6 feet. Something's amiss here. And you're talking 13 fucking acres.
I don't have a level picture in my house. We're all fucking crooked. And I have a level. Like, it's just, I don't get it.
Yeah. But before we get into it though, let's do a little round table of your thoughts of pyramids before you even looked into them. Like, just growing up, like, what do you think of the pyramids? You're just like, oh, built by slaves for sure, I guess. Braden, what do you think?
Dude, me, I've always been an ancient aliens, History Channel at night kind of guy. So I've always been like, these things are hiding secrets of the universe. They were built by aliens or an ancient civilization trying to pass on knowledge, or protect knowledge from biblical, like historical, cataclysmic events, to try to pass this information. And the Egyptians just came and slapped some graffiti on the outside and claimed it as their own. That's been my view of it ever since I was little.
So they found it. They found something and added to it or something.
No, they just found it. They like put their hieroglyphs. Dude, there's not a hieroglyph on the inside.
Not on these ones. And a lot of the temples there are, but for these,
no
whatever
mummies,
reason,
no glyphs. On the inside.
Andrew, what do you think? What do you think of the pyramids?
I mean, it's tough because this is one of the most remarkable things that humans have ever accomplished, right? Especially at that time frame when we're supposed to be using what, like wooden tools, wooden stone tools?
Fucking nothing. We're supposed to be nothing at this time.
Was it 2500 BC is when supposedly you're supposed to have this is like... And that's the biggest thing that I struggle with. And I won't say as like, this is something that I've kind of, you know, attached to recently is like, you look into, you know, the Sahara 9,000 years ago when it actually was like this beautiful oasis and it, you know, we had water, we had, you know, all these resources and stuff like that. And obviously it slowly dwindled away. And we're supposed to believe that, you know, this Egyptian civilization with all this technology and all this, you know, advancements, they were able to rise to power like that after the Sahara had dried up, which makes absolutely zero sense to me. Like, it's gone completely desolate, but yet it's the prime spot for like the most advanced civilization of its time. And like, you look around, look at any other fucking civilization at this point in time. Egypt is so far advanced with their fucking abilities that it doesn't even make sense. Right? Like,
yeah, it's fucking wild.
It's crazy, right? So it's, for me, it's like, well, you know, the deeper you go into the sand, the more intricate and sophisticated the fucking buildings are and the stones get. And it's just like Braden just said, I'm kind of like, I definitely am subscribing to the fact that a lot of these structures are so advanced and were too advanced for what we were capable at that time.
Or for the, the current like timeline put forward.
Absolutely. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, I'm on that same board. Is like, because they always say like, well, civilizations have always been a linear progression. Like we were hunter gatherers, and now we have microchips and spaceships. You know, like we've slowly fucking gone our way up. But as we look back, you're like, nah, something happens, gets to a point, reset, start again. New civilization forgets all the good stuff the last one did. Like pyramids were built. Even in Egypt, like this fourth dynasty was when the best were built. And the farther you go towards the end of the empire, you would say, the worse the pyramids get. So it's like they got good. This is if you go with the historical mainstream like explanation, they learned how to build them. They got good. They kept trying to build them, but they lost it somehow.
Which is so crazy
to me. It's like, or were they trying to model something they found, or they could never get to the level of sophistication? So like that, because the Nile Valley is still green and fertile and has that, but it's a very narrow chunk of that area. The rest is just fucking desert. And they know it was about 10,000 years ago, that place was a rainforest, lush and green, and
it had whales. The Valley of Whales.
There's whales now in the desert, which that's another thing that doesn't make sense. Like, how are these bones? Like, I thought bones aren't supposed to... Mud flood. They're not supposed to petrify like that.
Mud flood, dude. Mud flood. I'm telling you.
Flash mud flood.
Flash mud flood.
Yeah, so I just remember growing up and they're always like, oh, it was just built... Honestly, that was like drilled into your head. Like, it was built by slaves. I was like, oh, man. But you're a kid. You're like, okay, I guess. And as you get a little bit older, you're like, slaves don't...
They've also dropped that. I specifically remember being taught slaves and showing the whips. you know, our old textbooks had the whips.
Okay.
Right? It was hundreds of thousands of skilled contractors from far and wide to come in. It was like, dude, have you even had to deal with like five contractors trying to build a house? It's a fucking nightmare. You're talking 100,000.
You're talking the national project.
Not one bad crew. Not one bad crew. Not that one fucks them team. Up, that cut a corner.
Dan, what'd you think?
Yeah, same kind of idea growing up is the pyramids are such iconic structures. They are the, you know, pinnacle of the time of like what humans have accomplished, and nothing has been accomplished like it, you know, in the entire human history. Like it's like that we know of. And, you know, and when I was a kid, yeah, they were always kind of been like, I think Braden's things like originally was, yeah, like it may be the labor force had been slaves. Now more and more stuff that we find out, the more digging, I mean, they're still making discoveries about like what life was like back then, you know, finding more and more, more context, like contextual archaeology, that it's like they're finding tools, they're finding bones, they're finding evidence of like what people were doing back then, you know, more and more, you know, whether we're going to talk about the Wadi El Harf papyri or any of those things that you're just like, some of the stuff that we find, we're like, holy shit, like people were maybe a little bit smarter than we thought they were. Like we give them credit for, but yeah, like it was always a matter of like, why would you build these things? They're so incredibly huge. And like the amount of effort to us is like now, like Brain said, it's almost impossible to get five people together to do anything. You can't play fucking D&D. Like it's impossible to get five people together for that. Like getting an entire civilization together for a singular effort as magnificent as something that, you know, the amount of brute force that it would take to do some of this stuff. Yeah. It's still amazing.
No, Andrew knows exactly what, Zahi Awas says it is. What is it, Andrew?
What is what?
What does Zahi Awas say it is? Say it in his voice. I know you know exactly. Well,
it's a tomb. I swear to you, buddy. It is the burial for the gods.
The national project. He always says it's the national project, right? It was the national project of the time and everyone was on board. But you're like, why?
Yeah.
And how? Just like if you go with like the mainstream theory of it, it's like, you got to feed all those people. Like you need the reason. Like it's just like a,
and it's 50 years. It's a generational project.
Multi-generational.
According to the current timeline, they say like earliest is 50 years. for completion. You're like, okay, so it's like, you know, like, yeah, you're having like at least like a, you know, father son working on this, you know,
you're living till you're fucking what, 23 at the point?
Yeah, so maybe,
maybe five average.
Yeah, so maybe 3 decades.
Yeah, I mean, they say like between, I've heard 20 years, I've heard 70 years.
Think, yeah,
so somewhere in that multi-generational time frame.
Is, yeah. But I don't know if that takes into account like infant mortality rate. Yeah, so I think, yeah, probably like 40, 50 was like the average lifespan back then.
No, lifespan, yeah, lifespan. But I'm talking about the completion of the pyramids. I've heard as like as I've heard 20 years. I've read 80. Like I've read every type of span because there's really no records of it being built. There's the odd papyrus scroll here and there of like the how the workers lived in the camps I've seen. But as far as detailed construction drawings, there's none. And that's what leads to the like the theories about it, because it's not like, hey, this was the greatest feat of human engineering at the time. No, you know what? It's kind of like the moon. This is the greatest feat of human engineering, like the moon landings, but we lost how we did it.
I was just going to, bring that up when you were talking. I didn't interrupt you. I'm like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Technology doesn't get worse.
It weighs.
You're not going to get worse at things. Like that's fucking crazy. 5.75
to 5.9 million tons of stone. It's 16 Empire State Buildings, 1200 Titanic ships, or 2.95 trillion McCormick candy bananas.
Dude, it is. Dude,
I know exactly what happened. I know exactly what it is. They were running out of space for the hieroglyphs, so they fucking just went over top of them. Threw up some new limestone and just, they had all the instructions. They're like, listen, we don't have any space anymore. We're just going to put hieroglyphs on top of this. Nobody's going to care how we built these things. Yeah, they ran out of fucking limestone. We had to repurpose some stuff.
Yeah, they're like, sand it down.
Okay, like the size of these pyramids, because there's obviously there's pyramids pretty much on, I think on every continent, there's some every type continent. Of pyramids built, right? But the biggest ones are the ones of Giza, and they are, so the Great Pyramid is the one that gets all the love. The original height was 481 feet, but because of the loss of the casing stones and erosion and some other stuff, it's about 455 feet high now, which is insane. You have like a 45-story building in the middle of the desert. But that building also has a base length of each side of 756 feet.
Yes.
Right? And then the other one, the Khafre, which is pretty much, it's almost the same size actually. 448 feet right now with a 706 base. It's actually a little bit steeper too. It's like a 53-degree angle versus a 51. And then you got the smaller one, which is quite a bit smaller, but still 200 feet high, 330 feet at the base. Like these are just enormous structures. And you're like, what fucking, why and how?
And well, how is the biggest thing? It's like when you look at what people were capable of that point in time with their technology and their tools, it makes no fucking sense.
The average joint on it is 0.5 millimeter. That's thinner than a credit card. And in some spots, you can't even slide a razor blade. Right.
And this is after 4,500 years, earthquakes,
whatever,
floods, whatever else has been there. Like it's, so imagine that.
Yeah.
No more.
I don't know. They said they used some type of mortar, at least in some of the cases I've seen, that's like, they use a compound of like mashed up rocks and like sand and stuff that they put in there into some of the areas. They filled the gaps with.
Maybe on the finish, but even now with erosion and stuff, what has gone away, there's no mortar in key areas where you would expect there should be to hold this together from collapsing. And it's like most of the weight, all if not all of it, is just by how they stack the stones. Precisely.
It makes you wonder too, like we've scanned the pyramid and stuff, but you can't really see how the blocks are locked together in the middle. Like imagine it's something like, you know, we have Machu Picchu and these other places with like the molded rocks. You can't see on the inside of, like, you can see the outside stone. It doesn't, if you just like took a picture of the outside of the pyramid, just like a section of it, you'd be like, that's a bunch of piled up rocks. Looks like nothing. Right. Cause they're kind of all different shapes and sizes, but they're all locked together. But on first look, if someone didn't tell you it was a pyramid, you'd be like, yeah, it's a nice pile of rocks. But I'm super curious of if you were to like actually take all the rocks apart and start seeing, are they like locked together inside?
Like in the joints, like they've got like a leaf joint or something?
Yeah, like fucking some type of like dovetail. Like what's kept them because they're heavy, they're between like, they're all like around a couple tons. And then some of the big ones, like, because there's different styles, right? You have the granite chambers, right? So, which are, can be up to like 70 tons, so massive stones. And then you have all the way out to the limestone casing, which is pretty much gone now. There's a little bit left on the second pyramid. Yeah. But they used to shine bright white, like completely cased in fucking limestone.
Like the gold capstone.
Yeah, but didn't they chip away? Like they
gold capstone. That's what they always say.
What were you saying? They chipped
away all the limestone.
Exactly.
Which is crazy. Well, it's fucking crazy.
It's wild because it's like, I mean, some of these places, I mean, you look at like Rome.
A national project.
Well, you look at places like Rome. Like Rome.
You go to his house, he's got the most immaculate kitchen.
All limestone. Yeah, limestone countertops. Beautiful.
Yeah, everywhere.
I mean, floor. You look at places like Rome and like some of their buildings where like a lot of like the outside, like the marble and stuff was taken away. Like all of the stuff that's taken and moved somewhere, taken to build a church or build whatever, you know, different stones, you know, medieval Gothic churches and stuff. And then like the pyramids were ancient forever. Like, you know, it's like they, you know, standing for thousands of years. I mean, it's like, you know, when Socrates or Plato is like walking around, like they were already like, you know, 800,000 years old or something. And it's, and like the dynasties that built them were gone. Or I think people like kind of forget, like a lot of times, like Egypt has been conquered and reconquered and conquered and reconquered for hundreds, if not thousands of years. I mean, there was a point where it's like, there was more Greek people in Egypt than there were, you know, in the native Egyptians, like, it's, you know, all of that stuff has just been, you know, piled over, looted over some of these things. You know, whether the Sphinx will make for an episode on its own, stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, even like the Sphinx there is like other dynasties of Egyptians, like didn't know who to attribute it to because it was so old. They were just like, we don't know who to. We think it's this one. We think it's this king.
Well, it's been there since the last fucking like rain era that they had, right? Because of all the water erosion.
And well, what the fuck was that? What was the guy's name? Like John Anthony West or whatever. He says there's evidence of like great flooding, especially on the Sphinx enclosure and the base of the pyramid and stuff. And they're like, yeah, because 10,000 years ago, I mean, we'll get into another case file, but like, the constellation of Leo and stuff, like the Sphinx, if you go with like archaeoastronomy where they kind of match where the pyramids are pointing to, like a time in history where the stars align, they're like, well, this was a lion at one time and pointed to this direction, and that last time it was pointed that direction was like 10,000 years ago.
That sounds like, did they use the Greek constellations? Like Egyptians use the same constellations? Did they get them from Greek?
That's a good question. Yeah. This is what I've heard.└└└└                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                            if it wasn't Leo, it was something that looked, another thing that similar,
maybe they
right?
all got that information from the same source.
It's good. Yeah, that's another good question. Or another good point, because a lot of these like pantheon of gods all like are, okay, Zeus is Odin, and like all they kind of like all kind of are built on each other over time, so maybe that's one of the things. But let's go. So some more crazy things about the pyramids though. So it's not a four-sided pyramid, and actually has 8 distinct angles.
Yeah, that's
so it's
crazy.
Not laid in a straight line.
You can only see it from aerial to notice it.
And when the shadow is like perfect, you can see, and they've actually measured it though, and it's out. It's only like a few inches or something, but it is like a noticeable straight line, a slight angle, and a turn. So 8 sides. If it wasn't hard enough already to build, now you're adding in more variables.
I mean, some of the facts that just blow my mind. The pyramid sits at 29.9792458 north, which if you divide the speed of light, that's what it is. That's the number. Speed of light is 299792458.
Right to the same digit, which is crazy. Right?
And like, I mean, what a fucking wild coincidence that is. And it's like, if that was the only like weird number with this thing, you'd be like, all right, maybe that one's fucking lucky. Right? Like maybe they just through happenstance got that. But like Earth's circumference code's in there. If you take the base perimeter divide it by the polar radius, it gives Earth mean circumference within 0.2%.
Which is insane.
Which they didn't. They didn't know. Like they wouldn't know the. They would have no way of knowing that in this era.
What is the circumference? The 27,000 kilometers or something.
Yeah, something like that. I'd have to pull the math.
Earth's circumference.
Yeah, if you do 92,160 cubits divided by 43,200.
Oh no, the actual diameter is like 27, but it's like 40,000 kilometers circumference.
Yeah. But it gives it, yeah, within 0.2%. And you're like, okay, that's really close. Like, coincidence. It is off. It is a little off, but you're like, it's really fucking close.
There's such weird random numbers, though. It's like, why? What the fuck? Yeah. Why?
Yeah. To me, I'm like,
I'm going to throw in a couple cool measurements for the nerds here, see if they can figure it out. Like,
a couple Easter eggs for future humans. They're going to love Easter eggs. They're going to love fucking sleuthing this shit out.
I mean, they're not
just
wrong.
Like we did now. Yeah. Right. Like this one thing, it's like humans, you're always going to be sleuthing, right? If you leave breadcrumbs, someone will find it no matter how small they are. Like the pi, the height times. The base perimeter or whatever, it's the golden ratio within 0.1%.
2 pi, yeah.
Yeah, 2 pi, and it like pi, and that wasn't discovered until centuries after. So it's like they did not have that mathematics, but like you can find that by doing the math on the numbers of the pyramid.
Well,
like,
and
it's fucking insane.
Yeah, and they say that's significant. So if they did know them, that the Earth's circumference, 2 pi is that's like the equation. So they knew they had all these advanced mathematics before
knowing it.
Before supposedly that we actually discovered those, right?
Dude, can you imagine chalking this up to just blind? You're like, they really got lucky on these ones. Like just all, this was fire and blind, and they just really knocked one out of the park here.
Like, yeah, like the coincidences keep piling up. If you will, you know what I mean?
To the
point where, like, if there's that many coincidences, are they coincidences?
Exactly.
Like, it's just fucking weird at this point.
There's a precession clock, base perimeter divided by 100 equals 365.24, which is matching the solar year, including Earth's 26,000 year wobble. And they're
but like the calendars and shit back then were nowhere like nowhere close to what we use now.
No,
supposedly maybe they knew more,
maybe they're from the future.
That math is taking into account like the Earth's wobble and stuff, and they were like they wouldn't know that really because they didn't have telescopes. They like from our knowing like they didn't know this information. I think Robert Bouval's has a theory the Giza pyramids aligned with Orion's belt as it looked in 10,500 BC, not 2,500 BC. So if you pull it back, the stars.
Well, it's like at the solstice or whatever.
Yeah.
Solstice or equinox. It's supposed to line up perfectly, but right now it's like slightly off, but if you go back that many years. Right. And more stuff. It also, some people claim even it encodes the golden ratio, which is the Fibonacci sequence, which is fractals. Right. So everything.
That fucking, what is that? The angels and demons? Fibonacci sequence.
It might have been, but we've talked about
Dan Brown.
We talked about before on fractals and stuff that the golden ratio is like 1.618 or something. And that is the next fractal in the, like, if you go with fractals, like the branch of a tree, the length of that and the branch of the next one, they can shrink or grow. And that's the fractal. So like, this is like it encodes all of these superior mathematical principles into a building that is the size of 5 city blocks
that you couldn't miss. You know what I mean? That you couldn't miss. And that like as standing the test of time, the interior is constantly, it stays 20 degrees Celsius.
It's perfect air conditioner in there,
right? Limestone in like insulation and like some sort of ventilation and like geothermal, because it's like it stays perfectly cool all year round. Doesn't matter if it gets 100 degrees Fahrenheit outside. It's like a constant cool inside.
It's definitely the king's fucking tomb then, because if the fucking queen was there, that thing would be going up and down and up and down. Fucking brutal.
There'd be little entrances, little flaps, little windows they'd open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, just the construction of it in itself, the fact that there's no detailed record of how they built the greatest thing imaginable.
It's crazy.
Well, it's like the current timeline for the three is like anywhere from 50 to 100 years all in. And it's like the workers, they're like claiming like some people have done like math and they're claiming that there's seasonal shift between 10,000 to 20,000 seasonal workers. And they would have had to move 80 ton blocks every 2 minutes for decades.
Well, they say around 2.3 million stones.
Yeah. And like at a constant pace, nonstop. Like,
well, no cranes.
24/7.
Fucking crack open the Quran for all your answers. The giants built them.
That's one of the theories.
Medieval Arabs swear that the fucking pyramids were built by fucking giants.
The red-haired giants or whatever from Nephilim?
Nephilim.
That
makes more sense to me than fucking people at this time building them.
And what's that other one? The other issue too with these ones is there's no precedent. There's no like building blocks of like, oh, they're getting better. It's like, there's the step pyramid in 2670.
There's other ones too, but yeah.
And it looks like dude, it's a stack of rocks.
Well, it's built like, because
now it's a stack of rocks.
You know how those were built. You had Imhotep, who was the architect, and it goes into detail, and it was not good.
Yeah, it does not look good. And then you're like, it's like, you look at the Giza, you're like, holy shit, this is like night and day, like it's light years ahead.
Again, just, I don't, you, things are advancing. Why would they get worse?
I mean, yeah, I mean, knowledge is lost, I guess. But nothing survives from that era is crazy.
Our building construction isn't getting better. It might be getting more efficient. Well, but we're using worse. Like now we're using all of the fucking glues and compressed boards and nothing's fucking safe. It's like, you know, like, I mean, things just don't hold up.
Talk about losing knowledge. Like, we couldn't read hieroglyphics until like the 1850s. Like, we had lost all of that until you found the Rosetta Stone that had it, you know, in Greek as well. Like, you know, that whole thing, like they didn't even know how to read hieroglyphics until then, you know, as I,
yeah, that's, but that's wild. Like a language is different than like, you know, something more universal like construction and building and shit.
I mean, that's how you pass on your knowledge.
Mathematics,
like
on the
writing. I didn't even know if they knew about hieratic either. Like, it was like kind of hieroglyphics were the other thing.
Yeah. Did they have like a knowledge of mathematics? Those ones,
I was reading for this thing, they were saying actually like the Sumerians might have been more advanced in math as opposed to architectural wise, like, I think the Egyptians might have been more advanced, or what they're finding is that they were skilled in things like, what did they call it? Architectural illusionism. Like they had like a thing for like perception and like being able to like build buildings to like, you know, mess with your, to make like the perspective, like the way they would set it up, like to make stuff look stuff. Like, you know, to kind of not mess with your mind, but, you know, be able to like, make it more impressive.
I feel like you need math to be able to do that. Isn't math
at that level of precision?
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I guess type of math.
And like, I don't think like with math in Sumeria, really, like I didn't think math started coming until like the Phoenicians.
They had math. Like they.
Well, I mean, they have to have certain.
But like advanced, I'm talking like more like advanced levels of math where it's.
I mean, just if you think of, so it's one thing, if you built a building this massive, it was a square or something. like square, you can get away with a lot on a square building. The roof might be a little off, but in a pyramid, everything's got to come to a point. So if you're like just a fraction of a degree off at the base and you're growing up 400 feet, that thing is going to twist and there's no way you get to a point.
And then, so say if you do and you're like, okay, we need it perfect. We got to get it to this perfection. It's like you're adding decades to the construction to pull it and like reshift things.
Oh yeah. Like it's a one shot.
You know what I mean? Like to pull it apart and then to restack it to be like, now it's perfect.
No, there's right? No like, restacking.
Right. Like that, like that's the thing. It's like, it's that it does seem like if this is humans doing it, it's a one shot, like, you know, like
it had to be perfect ahead of time. Yeah. The planning had to be better than the building of it. There's no blueprints. And in the end, the only really thing we have that says anything about like Khufu on the Great Pyramid is like in a little chamber above the King's Chamber, there's some like graffiti that mentions something about him, isn't it? That's yeah, all they
it
have.
Was in, I don't know, is it around the actual pyramid stuff or the temples, but they have like, yeah, they have people who were, I mean, they do have, yeah, they have like builders. Who are like the friends of Khufu or friends or whatever. Was it like friends of Khufu and then the drunkards of Khufu? They're saying that, you know, they had like, you know, people are saying like, oh, they had rival work gangs that were just like goofing around and stuff like that.
Now you have gangs work building gangs, this
like, thing. You know, yeah,
but then homies, that would, but know. Then it would, seems like you would kind of like fuck each other. Like I picture Zufu coming down, and looking at the pyramid, like they got the base down and him like putting his head like next to the side, like eyeballing it. And he's like, yeah, good. Perfect. And so you like how the fuck they got 13 acres that fucking precisely level. I get so lost on that of being like, is that a fluke that the ground they built it on was just so fucking perfect already that it was like the perfect salt flat or fucking,
no, it's a bedrock.
I think the Giza Plateau for why, because it was flat, like is
I'm sure
not level to 21 I'm sure they had millimeters over 13 acres.
The place with the most minimal excavation needed. I'm sure
also a large available limestone there. Cause I mean, what they do say quarry, is that, or mainstream says that where the Sphinx is like a lot of the limestone that was cut there. Like it was cut there and then used in the pyramid construction.
Oh yeah.
The rock is the same. At least it, appears to be pretty like the same, if not the same, the same rock.
No, the limestone and stuff was, I think they pretty much are certain that it came from the quarry. Like you can see where they cut all the stone. They just don't know how they cut it in such a fast, like quick fashion. There's been theories, tons of theories. Some people have gone in there and said they had these great, like almost like a giant saw. Yeah. Like a bunch of people would push the stone through and it would cut it. And that's how they were doing it so fast. But if it was a saw, maybe it was made of wood and some type of metal, like it's gone. There's no evidence of anything.
Maybe not specifically for this, but they were finding evidence of like tools that were used either at that time or around that time. And they did find something that there was a little interesting blurb that I found about apparently the uniqueness. And maybe this is just kind of something that's weird, but like they found copper tools. Like they found the copper tools that the tools they've used. And they said something that was unusual about these that when they went down and did like, spectrum analysis of these tools is that the copper that they used was not pure, which if it was pure, it would have been, too soft or something like this. It's like actually that it had like trace amounts of arsenic in it. And the arsenic actually makes it harder and it makes it, more probably suitable for using on things like this, for these projects. You'd be able to use, at least for the limestone, like it would be possible to do it with these types of copper tools that have the arsenic in their composition, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then talking about the saw thing, I saw that too. And I was like, no way they could cut that with a saw or something like a copper saw. There's no way they could cut that. And they said, but this is kind of neat. They said what they did or what is possible is that they would take to the sand and the quartz in the sand that is in that area. Like if you threw it into the grooves or like once you start cutting it, like they would, he said one of the theories is they used like these saws that had no teeth. And then they would use the sand, like the abrasiveness of the sand would be able, is able to cut. Like it's able to cut through the stone. Like watched a couple guys do it. I was like, that's pretty crazy. That was neat.
No, I've definitely seen that before because there's a guy, Christopher Dunn, if you've never heard of him. He has he's the author of the Giza Power Plant.
It's the guy we met in the elevator.
He talks about the advanced engineering. Elevator, alien car? No, that was
I saw him. Maybe I saw him in the elevator.
Yeah. Maybe you saw him. But he pretty much he's a champion of saying that there's this advanced machining stuff that happened during this time. And he's even admitted, you can, because you can go Google it. You can go look it up. There's tons of crazy, perfectly straight bore holes through a bunch of stuff through Giza. Not just at the Great Pyramids, a lot of at Saqqara and a lot of these other places. And he's like, yeah, if you get a copper pipe with sand and you can turn it and put pressure on it for an extended period of time, you will slowly, 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 you can
drill through it.
Drill through granite. Slowly. But then they very slowly. We're talking guys working on a hole for months and months and months to drill one hole or to cut one stone. And then now he's analyzed pretty much his expertise is in advanced machining for drilling operations and other stuff. And he's
an engineer, isn't he?
Yeah. Go look him up pretty much. But he claims that they've scanned some of these drill holes and stuff and they match to even higher degree of precision than modern diamond tip drills drilling through granite. Just the spin speed and the rate that the drill is going through the rock is at a way higher rate than these guys that they've measured would take the copper pipe and they put pressure on it and they turn it back and forth. Cause he says it produces a horizontal groove. So when the copper pipe goes back and forth, you can analyze the groove that it goes, back and forth. It's not actually spinning in a circle where a drill bit has a spiral and So the slower it spins, the tighter the spiral because the drill has to spin slower and more pressure. So he's like, it's whatever, 1/2000ths of an inch per rotation, which is almost nothing. But they've analyzed it. He's put on the fucking magnifying goggles. He says he's done all this stuff. So he claims that whatever made these holes and these cuts in Egypt is not, he's not disagreeing that you could do it with these weird copper alloy that they had, but it just doesn't match the groove holes and the cut holes
of what you'd expect to
see. Of what you do see, of what they actually analyze. So he's like, I don't know. He's his whole life. And then he also goes on, it's a way harder discussion to have because I really have to look into it, but the Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source,
Well, yeah, because he brings up the fact that there's evidence of, residues in these chambers of zinc and hydrochloric acid and ammonia, which would indicate some type of chemical process that took place. And then he goes on about the acoustic resonance and stuff like that as well, which focuses all the energy towards the king's chamber. And there's a lot of wild shit that this guy claims.
Well, and he says the Nile, had the Nile been closer to the pyramids, it could have been routed through some of these quartz heavy stone.
100%. And if you actually take the Nile, you can actually trace the Nile back through 10,000 years. And right now it's so many kilometers away from the pyramids. But if you trace it back, not just the Great Pyramids, but all the pyramids in Egypt, trace a different Nile River. And it would make sense because they say a lot of these granite stones were transported 800 kilometers away from I had the name.
Sounds insane.
Aswan. It's called Aswan. They traveled from Aswan, 800 kilometers away, up the river. Somehow they floated them or however they got them. They know they came from there. They found the quarry. They matched the stone. 800 kilometers, 70, 80 ton fucking or bigger. We're only talking about really the pyramids today, but there's what's it called? They have these giant coffins that are 200 tons. That seem to be cut from inside Saqqara. Is it the Saqqara? Anyways, different case. We'll talk about it later. But pretty much, so they know these granite stones have come from 800 kilometers away up the Nile River. Must have, because there's no way they're dragging them. So they must have floated them somehow. Unless using giants. But if they floated them and the pyramids all mirror the Nile And that Nile 10,000 years ago was 6 kilometers to the west or whatever it was. It would put the pyramids on a short like causeway, a short like aqueduct that they would build or something, a little like man-made river, to, right to the river. So you could float them right up there. If they had the technology, they could float them right to the pyramid. Maybe they had some sophisticated
like system. Aqueducts filling and...
And then slowly like raising the block up. Because the other theories of how they built it are like a giant ramp that would have been 3 times the size of the pyramid, which is no evidence of them building this. It would ramp would have been like 4 kilometers long. Like to have that enough degree of a slope to be able to drag with manpower up.
Yeah.
Or some type of like spiral ramp, which they built slowly or whatever. Like there's a whole bunch of theories, but no one's ever really had a conclusive.
But see, like I get it. Like some of those things, you know, the big ramp, all that. Okay. All right. It's crazy, but it could work. Now explain to me how they dug 2 kilometers below these fucking pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Oh, yeah,
how does that, like that just
blew it open.
I mean,
that fucking makes my brain explode.
So you're talking like about the
fucking, the SAR, yeah, is it SAR or the type of LiDAR that they use that radar. Those
scan pyramids,
the Italian fucking,
well, oh yeah. The Italian Scottish radar, 2,100 feet deep cylindrical shafts with spiral staircases and multi-level complexes, under the pyramids. The most, like, we don't know, because again, Egypt is so, you kind of, you know, when you look into this stuff, you kind of uncover that they're like, there's all these people who really want to, you know, kind of do studies and stuff. And then it's like, Egypt's very protective of like their, how they were, like the narrative that they put forward. And if you're looking to interrupt that narrative, you know, your chances of getting to do studies are probably nil. Well,
you can't fuck with Zahi's $10,000 fucking tours that he does through Egypt with all the pyramids and shit.
But like, if you look at, if these things are real and they're really there and these scans show something, like they show something, it fucks up the timeline by hundreds of years if it's man-made. And it's like, and they didn't have like piling tech back then or like knowledge of doing these shafts, or there is some pits that's like maximum not, 10 meters deep.
That's not true. There's a lot of talk in like ancient texts of chambers and labyrinths underneath the Great Pyramids. Like that's been brought up a lot.
Well, the underground of Giza is, yeah, that's another thing that they don't let you know. A tourist can go, right? No, yeah. Tourists go. They know that there's some of these chambers and a lot of like underground passages, but they're not explored. They don't really fit the narrative.
2 kilometers deep.
I mean, there is a thing called the labyrinth, which is something they found, which we'll talk about another time. Something they've actually found that might be the greatest discovery of all time. But because the position of it to the Nile River and all the crops and stuff, they don't want to excavate. So, I mean, they keep finding stuff all the time. So Corrado Malanga and Philip Briondi.
Pussy Malanga.
Right. They use this SAR technology. So synthetic aperture radar, and they're scanning the ground and they're finding these 2,000 foot deep shafts and all these chambers.
Anytime you use like a new technology like that, though, you got to be a little skeptical. Like it's fucking cool and crazy, but it's like brand new.
Right. And I guess so.
It's kind of hard. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time. Just, I dig it. I want it to be real. I want it to be true.
100%.
This is like a brand new thing that has anyone else used it yet?
Well, yeah. And they, so like, I guess I've kind of been loosely paying attention to the story, and they've claimed that, all right, so we know that this chamber is under the ground. Here's our technology showing this chamber we know is there, but it's just not as deep. You know, it's like 20, 30, 40 feet deep.
Yeah.
And they're like, so this technology works. And then, but the argument is like, well, does it work to 2,000 feet? I guess is kind of like not proven yet, but they know it works. If something's like just a 30, 40, 50 feet below, they're like, we can find this chamber with this technology. So therefore it works. So it's showing something, but I mean, you've probably seen the elaborate artist rendering.
Crazy, man. Of the Tesla shaft. Tesla coils going down. Looks like
of some type of crazy electrical generation station.
Power plant.
100%.
Done. You had it right.
Dude, well, especially when you start to think of, like, I kind of think of, like, communications array, especially when, like, some of the shafts are, like, point at Sirius, right? And Orion at the time, and it's like maybe these were, like, resonant chambers to, like, basically shoot out signals into space, right? Powered by whatever this is. Maybe Earth's just a giant fucking Death Star, and this is the fucking cannon once it was fully charged by the Nile. But it blows, if these are real, it blows any kind of narrative that this is, like, man-made out of the water. Because you're talking hundreds of years. They estimated 200 years to dig up.
It's a long national project.
For just that. To just dig that deep.
Yeah.
And get those done. And then you have to build the pyramids afterwards. Right? So it's like, it would blow that out of the water.
I mean, to me, I'm like, that theory is like, so if we go with some predating civilization or extraterrestrial, you know, influence, they built this, like, power station in Giza on this plateau. For whatever reason, there's the river, the aqueduct had something to do with the energy of the smashing into the stone. The granite stone had that piezoelectric effect. So when you strike quartz, it, like, has a little charge, and that went up and they built this structure. The Egyptians then found the structure and built the pyramid around it. Some people say, like, oh, they found a structure and then built on top of it.
But then they built a pretty fucking impressive structure. You know what I mean? They're like, they found something unreal.
And
then
they're safe, maybe.
And they're like, all right, this is.
Well, I want to share, because we haven't really actually looked at the Great Pyramid. Okay, fucking. Mm-hmm. Is this working? Can you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it go away?
Images. No,
I see it.
Boom. So that's a cross section of the Great Pyramid, and this is supposed to be a tomb, right? And in the King's Chamber, there's a sarcophagus or whatever. But there's one entrance with a. It was like a swivel door, like a fucking big, like 80-ton swivel door that if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't even know it was there.
Oh, so you kind of got, like, pull on a chandelier and then it opens.
Yeah, you kind of, like, had to push
an
in the right
book, an old rusty. Yeah. You're like, what's this book doing here?
You had to push in the right spot, and then it opened. And then, so you go down a descending chamber. It's a descending chamber. It goes right down to a subterranean chamber, which is, like, a weird, like, square battery looking room, and has a shaft that goes up. And there's also ascending chamber, which goes to the grand gallery, which ends at the king's chamber. And below that is the queen's chamber. And then there's a few air shafts that go out towards, I guess they're air shafts, right? That's what they say. Like, so if the workers were working in there, they needed some type of ventilation, I guess. But now, so they've scanned, I'll stop sharing this until we get fucking banned on YouTube again. But so they've scanned below the pyramids now just last year, right? But before that, there's the Scan Pyramid Project, which has showed a big void above the Grand Gallery, which is comparable to the Grand Gallery itself. So there's another whole chamber that they never found before. And in the last 10 years, they scanned another chamber, huge chamber. So in this giant structure with
30 meters.
It's a giant structure with very few voids in it. And now we've just found another giant one. They've also found, like, it's called the North Face Corridor. So it's behind what they call the Chevron Stones, which are named that because they look like the Chevron logo, like those two little. Right? They found other small cavities and voids and others. And they found sealed off chambers behind on Khufu's pyramid, pretty much perched above the main entrance. And it's inaccessible. So however it was built, they also built a main structure that was supposed to ward off grave robbers, I guess, right? Trying to keep the Pharaoh safe in his, because, like,
but curses really, can't do all the work. Okay. They say, like, can't just depend on, you know, curses. Like, it's not.
Yeah. But, like, the pyramids, like, the mainstream thing is, like, the Pharaohs built this, like, a, it was like an entrance to the underworld, was it not? Like,
I think, they were that, or, you know, the one of the accepted, like, during that time, the Egyptian, mythology and their thing was, like, you know, you're your body, was it your soul, your ka leaves and then, you know, goes up. So it's like, yeah. So either some of these, when you talk about the shafts, like they're drilled into there, like are, you know, built, you know, aligned, which is crazy that they got them all the way down in there, either being air or ones that are connected to the king's chambers are being a exit for the ka, the soul, to leave the pyramid. And I can't remember if it was like leave and come back, like, or if they're supposed to come back to the, I can't remember.
Well, I think they're supposed to come back because that's why all their servants.
Yeah.
And fucking,
or you were supposed to take that. Or you're supposed to take that stuff with you to the afterlife. Like you're supposed to, you can't just, I mean, and there's a lot of religious, you know, that still kind of believe that, you know, you take stuff with you.
Dude, first fucking sniffle, I'd hand in my 2 week notice. Right. Cause they didn't have slaves. So they were, you know, they were skilled labor. I'd be like, hey, sorry, I got another gig.
So it was
another gig. This is the national project.
It's number one good business tool.
Well, dude, and that's the problem. Is like, cow, you, like, you get the high Hawassi. It is, dude.
Yeah.
You have this guy. He's like a gatekeeper, man. He's been removed from his position twice. He was probed in 2011 for artifact theft and fund misuse. He was sentenced, like found guilty. And then later in like 2014, he was cleared by like a different administration. And then
after
like,
watching him have his little meltdown when he tried to debate fucking Hancock, I'm like, I don't know how anybody can take him seriously.
Yeah, it's like, a really bad look. And then it's like, dude, you hear people, like other people talk about him, and they're like, it's they're basically running a racket, you know, with all their permits and facilitation fees, which are akin to bribes. And it's like, you know, he's still being like in circles, being brought up as living like he's illegally selling artifacts. This guy's fucking corrupt as hell.
He's fucking the what's it called? Balak, bad guy from Indiana Jones of Egypt. But my favorite thing about him is like he'll poo poo so much shit, just like he's doing with all the SIR scans or the SAR scans.
Yeah, he was like, and they're then, amateurs.
Yeah, well, amateur, no good. And then as soon as he gets his little fingertips in it, he's like, number one discovery. I found it. Egypt is number one national project for the world. Like, it's crazy. He'll take credit for fucking, I don't know how many other people's work. Like,
it does seem that like it's so steeped in red tape, and it's a tough balance for me because like we shouldn't be going to these historical sites and just be able to fucking tear it apart. But at the same time, when it's like discoveries for like humankind like this, you shouldn't also be fucking
you
greasing the wheels of these.
With the technology, we don't have to rip it apart now, right? Scan, like, yeah, that's a problem. Baby. Like, we have the ability to scan, and they're not letting them.
Yeah, well, like, and that's, let's go. Yeah. So, like, even that, they're like, it takes years and years, sometimes decades to get these permits.
Do we have any scans of, like, sub-Saharan Africa?
Very few, I'd imagine.
Right? Like, we have nothing. Obviously, it would be hard to get them because it's not a very hospitable area of the world. But still, like, it's just...
Especially, you can do it from satellite now, so, to a point.
Yeah, like he even nicked the Sphinx anomaly digs. He was like, no, there's nothing there. And I don't want amateurs working in Egypt. And they're like they're paying for permits and then getting nicked by him just calling them amateurs. And they're like, what? We have funding and money and equipment.
We have $1 million worth of gear here.
Right? And they're like, amateurs. He just like, he has the kind of the final say of approval. It's kind of wild that, you know, he's the gatekeeper of this information. And it doesn't take a lot of watching a lot of any of his interviews to be like, wow, this guy's out of touch.
Something
I would say is the nicest thing I could possibly say about him. Very out of touch.
No, I agree.
But it's, I mean, looking at this now and like seeing this tech, man, I get the vibe. Like I go alien with it, or like, you know, Mark Masters, like future us coming back. And it's like, part of me wonders if this is like a, almost like Left, where it's like, once your race gets smart enough, you unlock these things, these mathematics that'll help you in, you know, to leave Earth, to space travel. And then as soon as we start adventuring our solar system, maybe there's something else out there on another planet in our solar system that is basically the key, has the knowledge to unlock like the next, you know, to jump us to the next thing. Cause we always hear these alien things that's just like a galactic federation and stuff. And once you become advanced enough, perhaps you can join it. Maybe these are just like stepping stones that they place for life, to be like, all right, well, once intelligent life gets to this milestone, they should be able to figure out the hidden secrets in this, and it'll help propel their math and science, in order to do, the next, feat. Right. So yeah. that's kind of where I've gone now, on one.
Like a technological time capsule. You figure it out, then you're at the right spot.
It's hidden. And then it's like, there's something further out, right? Maybe on Mars, there's another structure that has more information.
A solar system treasure map.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you've made it this far. Here's some more information.
I like that.
That'll help you on your way.
One thing I really can't get over is the fact that you could build these gigantic super engineering marvels out of stone, and you can't record how you built them also out of stone so that you could figure it out later. Maybe you wrote on some type of paper scroll and it got burned in the Library of Alexandria or whatever the case, whatever they say. You couldn't make a record as equally as impressive as the structure you built. There's like, oh, that was an amazing thing we built.
Taped over.
And we're not, we deleted the tape, I guess.
Dude, it's our Achilles heel as a race.
You think right? That back then,
fuck.
A couple generations after the pyramids are like, there's no way we built these. There's no fucking records. It's impossible. And there's people having the same discussion back then about the moon landings, but it's about the pyramid. Like, there's no way that was us. There's no way we got to build these pyramids. There's no evidence.
100%.
There's no fucking evidence. There's four fucking dummies and they're fucking... clay hut with straw roof talking about the pyramids. Like, there's no way we built those things, man. There's no way our great great grandpas built that pyramid. No record.
And it's again with the if the radar claims are true and there are those structures that deep, and technology is only going to get better. So we're only going to get either going to confirm it or we're going to be like, it's refracting off something, whatever. But if it is, it's like that blows any kind of timetable that you could tell me that like humans made it, because then you're talking like hundreds of years for this project. I was like, there's no fucking war. Like, war would take out, there was no way you could do this. This
national kind of project.
Yeah. You couldn't national do it. Project. You could not do this national project. It would not happen. If I'm
not just one national project though. Multiple national projects in a row.
Yeah.
Well, I look at the fact how quickly you look at, Egyptian civilization, how they just, how quickly they developed and, basically became the superpower of the time. And like that, we have really no evidence of, a pre-Egyptian Saharan civilization. Right. And I think once we are able to use this technology in the Sahara Desert, we're going to find that there was an advanced civilization that was fucking buried there. Right. And it kind of makes sense because you look at the area, so when we look at the Sahara 10,000 years ago, it was green. It was lush, close proximity to the cradle of civilization, right by Mesopotamia, right? Right by Egypt. It's in a perfect fucking area full of, all the resources they could use. And at some point we have this rapid period where the Sahara quickly dries up, what they say within 20 years, completely dries up. Maybe that advanced civilization fled that area and went towards the Nile, which would make sense, and brought their technology with them. And that's where they settled. But that's, I think once we are able to use this technology in the Sahara, that's where we might find whatever advanced civilization, possibly fucking Atlantis. Who fucking knows?
Not even like we're finding in the rainforest, like temples in the rainforest. Totally. Just like the sand is riddled with structures.
As we go deeper in the sand, we get more bigger stuff. Blocks. We get more, more advanced architecture. Like we just look at Göbekli Tepe, right? Like it's crazy.
It was not that they settled in Egypt. It's that Egypt was part of the civilization. That's what remained at the end.
Yeah.
Right by the Nile. Only it's only 20 kilometers each side, which is lush. And then it's this fucking desert forever.
And it would make sense for a civilization. Let's go down the path that the Egyptians just found it, right? They found this structure and took it over. It would make sense that you're like, this is us. and we control it. Look at it. We fucking, I've been doing this project. This was mine. Like, and this is ours.
I'd claim that shit right away.
Right. You know what I mean?
This is our national project now. We take over.
But like that would make the most sense to me is that like the civilization came upon it was like, yeah, it's ours. Fucking says my name right here as they're carving it in with their fucking bronze shovel. They're like, hell yeah, that's us, boys. But like, it doesn't make sense. Like you do this, all this work. You think that like the king's chamber and shift would be fucking done up with fucking hieroglyphs and shit on the inside as well. You know what I mean? And the shafts decorated.
Like every other Egyptian tomb is.
Yes. Yes.
And not, right? And like there's nothing. Some of those tombs are done up like with every square inch of the wall is hieroglyphs, a perfect story of whatever fucking happened to this fuck on this way to the underworld.
Right. And just the most spectacular one is like they're inside. They're like, we ran out of money. We can't. Their workers are striking. They finished everything else. They refuse to etch their fucking name on the inside. Right? Nothing. They're not going to touch it.
No plans.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, the striking workers burned the plans and that was it. That's why we don't know.
Right when they finished.
Right.
It just doesn't add up. It doesn't. I mean, I can't sit there and like just. It doesn't pass the sniff test for me.
It doesn't.
We did it.
Dan, what are your thoughts on it? And then we're going to take a break. We're going to go to the unhinged portion of the
if
show.
If you want to know how the pyramids were built and stuff, just go ahead and watch the 2016 documentary Gods of Egypt with then you'll know that Jamie Lannister, Captain Barbossa, and Black Panther got together and built the pyramids.
Boom. Isn't fucking Christian Bale?
No, it's Gerard Butler. He was in Kings of Egypt. I think you're talking about Kings of Egypt, the other ones.
White
guys.
Did Gerard Butler even change his accent for that movie?
I hope not.
Why?
He's still Scottish.
Every ancient civilization portrayed in a TV show or a movie.
I will say, if you just pretend it has nothing to do with Egypt, the movie's actually not terrible. As people thought, like originally said it was. I watched it. I was like, this is actually not that bad. But if you just remove everything from like it having to do with Egypt, I'm like, this is not a bad, you know, fantasy movie. It's pretty fun. But yeah, I was like, yeah, that's how they built it. Everybody had Iron Man armor and they were giant and they were 9 feet tall. And yeah, and you could pull out people's eyeballs and put them back in, I guess. So yeah, that's how I think.
That's cool.
Okay, that was super fun. We got some people texting the line. We're gonna have a couple calls here. We're gonna go a little unhinged. So if you're watching the live stream, we'll be right back. If you listen to the podcast, be a couple days. All right.
Picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.